holding on Hoff Days on the days about the middle of the by Trudeau. So I'm gonna buffer. Okay, so we're up to the next case in the Mishnah where we said that a Kohen is going to go under certain conditions, then he's not allowed to do it. If he does, then the Avodah is possible. The Avodah is in the Kulo, let's say, whatever Avodah he did, the Kohen is possible. So the next one we have in the Mishnah was Tomei possible. We said that if he does the Avodah, when he's Tomei, then he's possible. Then the Avodah is possible, that is. So what we're going to be figuring out then in this Sugya is, what types of tumah, and does it apply to? Now we know there is a concept that when it comes to the korbanos tzibur, when it comes to the public korbanos, that they can be brought b'tumah if necessary. If you have it, most of the people are tameh, or if the kohenim are tameh, then the regular scheduled korbanos, the tameh, the musaf, the korban pesach, and so forth, are still brought b'tumah anyway. So that sort of thing, but the question is, which kinds of tumah does that apply to? And then in turn, which ones does it apply to as far as individual people's korbanos? That's what's going to drive the discussion here in the Gemara. So, Omer Ziknei Dorim, so the elders of the south of Eretz Yisrael, the south meaning the south of Eretz Yisrael, like the area of Lod or whatever, they said, Tosfos discusses later on in the Sugya, whether these Ziknei Dorim, are they Tanoim? Because we see later on, it seems that they're arguing with the Mishnah, which would imply that they're Tanoim. On the other hand, we're going to have Rish Lakish argues with them. With Rish Lakish being an Amora, he can't argue with Tanoim. So that would seem to make them Amoraim. So so Tosfos brings up two possibilities. A, they may be Tanoim. Or B, they might be Amoraim, but they're able to argue with the Mishnah because they have another opinion of a Tana that they follow. Okay. Anyway. So they say, Omer Ziknei Dorim, Lo Shanu Ela Tmei Sheret, this that we're saying, that if the Kohen was Tomei, if he does the Avodah of an individual person's Korban, then the Korban is possible, that would only apply if he was Tomei from a Sheret, from one of the eight dead Shrotim, or any other thing like that, other than Tumas Mes. Avot Tmei Mes, but if the Kohen is Tomei from a dead body, then the Korban is not possible. Mitoch Shemirat of the Tzibur, since we know that if the Kohen is able to do the Avodah when it comes to a Korban Tzibur, when he's Tomei, and the Korban is acceptable, so therefore, Menachta Nami B'Yachid, therefore, B'Di'Avet, it also works if he did it for Yachid's Korban as well. He shouldn't do it, but if he did it, the Korban will not be possible. Say the Ziknei Dorim. Well, that's what they're arguing. They're arguing that, given that we find that the Hatzchila, when it comes to the Tzibur or the Kohenim or Tomei, the Hatzchila able to do the Avodah of the Korban when they're Tomei, and it's acceptable. So therefore, we can't say that a Korban Yachad should be so much worse that even B'di'evet, it shouldn't be acceptable. We'll say B'di'evet, it'll be acceptable. But only if they were Tomei Nes, because we only find this concept that they're able to bring a Korban Tzibur, the Tumah, only when it comes to Tumas Nes. There's a special heter in the Torah for that, which we learn from the fact that we say that an individual, which we're going to deal with later on in the Sugya, we see that an individual person who's Tomei Mes has to bring a Pesach Sheni, but the implication is if the Tzibur is Tomei, then they don't, then they bring the Pesach right there on the spot. Okay, so the question is, Yehochi, Tomei Sheret Nami Blaise Dibakav HaChomer, Mitzmei Mes. In that case, then shouldn't we argue, if they're going to argue like Rashi actually takes out the word ihafi, because the question the Gemara is asking over here is not necessarily dependent on what Ziknei Dorim say. Tosfos brings it back in because Tosfos has a somewhat different understanding of the Sugya. Let's not get into that. The point is that the question is like this. If you're telling me that when it comes to Tumas Mes, it works by a Korban Tzibur, and B'di'evet, the Ziknei Dorim are saying it even works by a Korban Yachid, shouldn't we say a Kal Vachomer that it should apply to a Tumas Sheret also? Tomei Sheret Nami Leis B'Kav HaChomer Mitmei Meis. Shouldn't we be able to say that it should be kosher if he was Tomei through a Sheret by a Kav HaChomer from the case of Tumas Mes? Ma Tmei Meis Shetoron Azor Shlishu Shvi. Consider a Tomei Mes is a very stringent level of Tumah, because we see he doesn't just go to the mikveh, he needs to be sprinkled with paradrum of water on the third and seventh day, and yet Merase, yet we're saying that if he brings the Korban Tzibur, then it's acceptable. Tomei Sheret Shein Etona Zoh Gimel Shvi. Well, if someone is Tomei from a Sheret, where he doesn't even require Hazah, all he needs to do is go to the mikveh and wait until the night, and then wait until nightfall. Ein Edin Shemanasa. Shouldn't it be a Kal Vachomer that
they should be able, that the korban should be acceptable. So why are you telling me that this whole concept of tumah, of a kohen tumah being able to do the avodah applies only if he's tumah mes, lachtchila by the korban tzibur and b'diavad by the korban yachid, you should say it, kal v'chomer, that it should work how much more so if he's tumah from a sheretz, which is a lesser level of tumah. The answer is, kasavri ziknei dorim mechafrin kimiskafrin. True, but the Ziknei Dorim hold that the Mechafrin, the ones who bring about Kapara, namely the Kohenim, have to be like the Miskafrin, like the ones for whom the Kapara is accomplished, meaning the Tzibur. And the Heter for the Tzibur only applies to Tumas Mes, which we'll deal with soon. The Gemara is going to ask, well, how do we know that? Maybe the Heter for them also applies if they're Tumas with Sheretz. But for the moment, let's take it as a given that with the Tzibur, it only applies if they're Tumas Mes. And therefore, the Ziknei Dorim hold, the Mechafrin, the Kohenim, can't be any stronger than that. Ma Miskafrin, Tmei Meis Ein, Tmei Sheretz Loi. So just like when it comes to the Miskafrin, the Tzibur, it only works to bring the Korban on their behalf if they're Tomei Mes. It doesn't, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, for example, it doesn't work if they're Tomei from a Sheretz. If they're Tomei, if most of the Tzibur is Tomei from a Sheretz, we still don't bring the Korban Pesach on their behalf. That's the question. That's the question was why we don't say it's more lenient. So the answer is, so far we're saying because the Kohenim can't be any stronger than the Tzibur. We're going to get back to, we're going to have to ask, well, how we know the Tzibur can't bring the Kohen Pesach because most of them are Tomei Sheretz. But that we'll get back to soon. But if we take it as a given that the Tzibur cannot have the Kohen Pesach brought on their behalf when most of them are Tomei with a Sheretz, well then, af mechafrin, tmei meisein, tmei sheretz loy. Well then, the same thing applies to the Kohenim. It only applies if they're Tomei Mes. It doesn't apply if they're Tomei Sheretz. You have a Kal V'Chomer, very nice, but the Kal V'Chomer is broken up by the idea that you can't say that the Kohenim should be in a stronger position than the city. Okay, though the question becomes, my Kasari. Okay, but you're telling me that they take it as a given that if the Tzibur are Tomei by a Sheretz and you can't bring the Korban Pesach on that on their behalf, then you have to ask. So let's see, what would they hold? So what exactly do they hold? So what would they hold is the din when it comes to a person as Tomei Masheret, can the Korban Pesach be brought on his behalf? Now, one way of looking at it is, so you have like this, a person is Tomei with a Sheret. He became Tomei with a Sheret on Erev Pesach. So what would happen? One way of, so all he has to do, at some point during the day, he has to go to the mikveh, and then by nightfall, he'll be completely tahor and he'll be able to eat kachin. So one way of looking at it is that, okay, given that by night he'll be able to eat kachin, then we don't care about the fact that today he's Tomei. We can still bring the korban on his behalf. And tonight, by the time it comes the night, by the time it comes the time to eat the korban pesach, he'll be tahor and everything's good. Or we can look at it that, no, the fact is that right now he's Tomei, and we can't bring the korban pesach on his behalf because right now he's Tomei. In fact, Rashi points out, we have a similar thing the Gemara discusses in Pesachim. Now, consider, you have a case where a person was Tomei Mes. You can have a case where, let's say a person became Tomei Mes, and the seventh day of their Tumah, the second time that they're sprinkled with Torah Rima water, comes out on Erev Pesach. They, in that sense, they're similar to a Tomei Sheretz, because such a person, the same thing. Then all they need at that point is Tevilah and a head of Shemesh. They don't need anything else. And yet, the Gemara learns in Pesachim that the original case, when the people came to Moshe and complained, we're Tomei, we can't bring the Korban Pesach, what should we do? And Moshe asks Hashem, and Hashem tells him the Mitzvah Pesach Sheni. That was the exact scenario, that it was the seventh day of their Tumas Nes, and therefore that night already they'd be Tohar to eat the Korban Pesach, but by day they're still not, and Moshe tells them, sorry, you can't bring the Pesach Rishon, you can only bring the Pesach Sheni. So the question is, what are the Ziknei Dorim holding? Are they comparing a Tomei Sheretz to a person, to a Tomei Mes on a seventh day? And they say in either case, then you can't bring the Korban Pesach on their behalf. Or are they saying that the two cases are different? The Tomei Mes, you can't bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf, but the Tomei Sheretz, you could. So that's the question, Gemara. My Kasavri. So what are these Ziknei Dorim holding? E Kasavri ein Shechtin Bezerken al Tomei Sheretz. If they hold that you cannot shech the Korban Pesach, and you cannot sprinkle the blood on behalf of somebody who's Tomei with a Sheretz, well then, in other words, that you're saying that a Tomei Sheretz is exactly like a Tomei Mes in that sense, well then, am I Lord of Sibyl with Tumah? Then why should you say that the Sibyl cannot have the Korban brought on their behalf if most of them are Tomei with a Sheretz? The general rule is any case where if it's an individual person is in this circumstance or a minority of the people, then they're pushed off the Pesach Sheni. But if the parallel thing happens with the Sibur, then they bring Pesach Rishon, even Betoma. So if you're going to tell me that the Yochid cannot have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf when he's told me by a Sheret, then it would follow that the Sibur can. And in that case, then we're back to the Kavah Chomer that we said before, that we should say in that case that the Sibur can have the Korban Pesach brought on their behalf even if they're Tomei Sheret, and therefore we should argue that the same thing should be true as far as if the Kohenim are Tomei Sheret, that they should be able to bring the Korban. So we can't say, obviously they don't hold that way. Obviously, then, we have to say that the Zikne Dorim apparently holds that a Tomei Sheret is different than a Tomei Nes. Even an individual person who's Tomei Sheret will have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf, because by the time it comes nightfall, he'll be able to eat it. So therefore, they will have to say, in that case, there's no particular heter for the Sibur to bring the Korban Pesach the Tumma, if they're Tumma Sheret, okay, I mean, it can be brought on their behalf, same as if they're Yechidim, but we can't say on that basis that there should be a heter for the Kohenim to do it if they're Tumma Sheret. No, we can't say that, because that would be making the Kohenim stronger than the people, and we can't do that. Okay, so that's the opinion of the Zikne Dorim, then, that when it comes to, that only when it comes to Tumma Nes, Since the Kohenim are able to do the avodah of a Korban Sibur if they're Tomei Nes, then and they're able to do that Achila, then b'di'evet that works by an individual Korban as well. So when we say in the Mishnah that a Kohen who's Tomei, if he does the avodah of a Korban, then the Korban is possible, that would apply to other kinds of Tomei. However, the Gemara then continues, Amar Ula, Chokol Lahu Rish Lakish L'Dremoi. Rish Lakish yelled at the Dremoi, at these Chachamim from the south, and said, what they're saying doesn't work logically. Hagoy Tabach, by the way, changes it from Rish Lakish to Rish Galusa, because since we're saying that Tosfos brought up the possibility that they're Tanoim, if they're Tanoim, Rish Lakish being an Amora can't argue with them. If we change it to Rish Galusa, okay, the Rish Galusa of that time, who himself could have been a Tana, is able to argue with them. Okay, anyway. So he argued with them as follows. You have to ask, who has the stronger position as far as that they can override Tumma and the Korban be brought? Koyach Mechatrin or Koyach Miskatrin? Who has a stronger position via V Tumma? The Mechatrin, the Koyanim who are accomplishing the Kapara, or the Miskatrin, the owners on behalf of whom the Korban is brought? Hevem, a Koyach Miskatrin. Obviously, the answer is the Miskatrin, the ones on behalf of whom the Korban is being brought. Because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, if you have a person who is Tomei from a Sheret, we just established now, even according to the Zikne Dorim, that if the Kohenim are Tomei from a Sheret, they can't bring a Korban, not a Korban Yochid and not a Korban Sibur. On the other hand, if an individual person is Tomei with a Sheret, he is able to send other kinds of Korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash, and they can be brought on his behalf. Because we can discuss whether he can with the Korban Pesach or not, but with other kinds of Korbanos, he definitely can. And they'll bring them on his behalf, even though he's Tomei with the Sheret. So we see that the owner of the Korban is in a stronger position than the Kohenim. Well, then make a Kavah Chomer like this. In a case where the owner became Tomei with the Sheret and still the Shalchem Korban is there, they're still able to send the Korban to the Beis Hamikdash, and it will be brought on their behalf. Well, then, Kohen should, and yet, Kohen should nitma b'sheret eini merata. Yet, if the Kohen became Tomei with the Sheret, and he brought the Korban, then it wouldn't work. The Korban would not be acceptable. And you, Zikne Dorim, are agreeing with that, because we just said before that they can't say that their heter applies to Tomei Sheret. Well, then, Mokum should nitma by the mess. Well, then, consider in a case where the owner is Tomei mess, she'ein m'shalch and Korban eseihen, where they cannot send their Korban pesa, they can't send their Korban at all. A person who's Tomei mess cannot send a korban to the Beis Hamikdash and have them offer it while he's telling us. They'll have to wait with bringing it until he's tar. So then Kohen should nitma b'mes. So in that case, the Kohen should be in a weaker position than them. So if the Kohen became Tomemes, ain't it didn't chain him at after. How much more so that he shouldn't be, that the Korban should not be acceptable if he brought it when he's Tomemes. So not like you, Zikne Dorim, are arguing that we can prove from the case of the Sibur that even in the case of a Yochid's Korban, it'll work. No, because we see that even the owner is Tomei Mess and he can't send the Korban. Why should the Korban be able to? answer is because the Zikne Dorim disagree with that premise. Kasavri Zikne Dorim, the Zikne Dorim holds, Tomei Mes Nami Mishalayach Korbanosim. They say that even a Tomei Mes can send his Korbanos. So when it comes to other Korbanos, he's able to, no problem, because other Korbanos, he's not necessarily required to eat from. You have some Korbanos, the owner doesn't eat from at all. But even other Korbanos that he has portions to eat, for example, the Shlomim or whatever, he doesn't have to eat it. Other people in his family can eat it. But so with those, he can definitely send. But the Zikne Dorim say, even the Korban Pesach, even though he's not going to be able to eat it, they hold it's not essential for him to be able to eat the Korban Pesach for it to be kosher. Sure, l'chatchila, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, l'chatchila, if he's Tomei Mes, he should not be sending his Korban Pesach to be brought on his behalf because he's not going to be able to eat it. However, b'di'evet, if he did, then they can offer it and he'll be potter from doing a Pesach Sheni. So therefore, so the Zikne Dorim will disagree with Rish Lakish's premise. They'll say a Tomei Mes is able to send his Korbanos. Therefore, we have no basis for saying that a Kohen Tomei Mes shouldn't be able to offer those Korbanos. Question is, how can the Zikne Dorim say that a Tomei is able to send his Korbanos, including the Korban Pesach, and that if they did it on his behalf, it's kosher? The Pasuk says, in connection with Pesach Sheni, that if a person is Tomei and he wants to make a Korban Pesach, then he can't do it the first time, he has to do it in the second month, in the year, Pesach Sheni. So that means if he's Tomei Mes, there's no Korban Pesach on his behalf. The answer is the mitzvah. The Zikne Dorim will say that means only the right way of doing it would be for him to wait for Pesach Sheni. But the Evet, if they brought it on his behalf in Pesach Rishon, then it works. Okay, what about the pasuk continues? Okay, the pasuk also says that the Korban Pesach can only be brought for each person according to his eating. And the pasuk continues, tachosu, which tachosu, where the Gemara explains in Pesach, means to shecht it. So you can only shecht it on behalf of those who are able to eat it. And again, a tomei mes is not able to eat it. Again, the answer is the mitzvah. Again, the Zikne Dorim will hold that just means the ideal way of doing the mitzvah is you make sure that you shecht it only on behalf of somebody who can eat it. But for the Evet, it was shechted on behalf of a Tomei Mes who can't eat it, it'll still be kosher, they'll say. So the question is, so you're telling me, according to the Zikne Dorim, it's not ma'akiv? It's not, it doesn't topple the korban if the korban pesach is shechted on behalf of somebody who can't eat it? V'hatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, the pasuk says v'michsas nefashos. The pasuk says according to the count of people, and the word v'michsas actually has a double meaning. The word v'michsas means a count, an amount. Like in this week's parasha, for example, we have michsas de'erkecha, the amount of the erech. But michsas is also related to the word. It is also related to the Aramaic word for shechting. So it means that the shechita has to be accomplished only for nefasha, it's only for the people registered for it. Malama chaina pesach mishchat elolim nuyav. So this teaches us the Korban Pesach can only be shechted on behalf of people who are registered for it. Shachta shalolim nuyav. Then continues the braisa. You would think if you shechted it, if you shechted it for people who are not pre-registered for it before the shechita, yachol yeheka over al mitzvah. You would think that maybe it just means okay, he didn't do the mitzvah properly, but maybe it would be kosher. How do we know that's actually ma'akiv? That it actually makes the Korban kosher. Tamalema tachoisu. Therefore, the pasuk continues in that same pasuk. Tachoisu, you should count, and also means you should check, meaning that now you have it said twice. Hakosav shana olav lasim. It means the pasuk is repeating it twice, and we have a general rule when it comes to kodshim that anything that's repeated twice means it's la'akiv. It means it must be that way, and if not, then it's possible. So we see from that braisa that the Korban Pesach can only be shechted on behalf of people who are registered to eat it, and itkash oiklin the menuyin. And furthermore, we have a hekesh in that pasuk between the ones who are able to eat it and the ones who are registered for it, because in that same pasuk it mentions lafi ochloi. So therefore it would mean that you have to have the people who you're shechting the Korban Pesach on behalf of them have to meet two criteria. Number one, they have to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. So therefore, for example, they can't be Tomei, they can't be an Oral, they can't be sick, they're too sick or too old to be able to eat a Kazayas. And number two, they have to be registered. So therefore, so we see then that the same way as the Braise is saying, if you shecht it for people who aren't registered, then it's possible, it's possible even with the Eved, because the Pasuk repeated twice Tachotsu. The same thing applies if you shecht it on behalf of people who can't eat it. And people who can't eat it includes people who are Tomei. So how are the Zikne Dorim able to say that if you shecht it on behalf of people who are Tomei, then with the Eved it's kosher? The answer is Zikne Dorim Lemakshi. Okay, but the Zikne Dorim don't hold of that hekesh. Or rather, maybe they would say, here's where Tosfos explains that either we could say the Zikne Dorim are Tanoim, and therefore they're able to argue with the Mishnah there in Pesachim that says if you shecht it on behalf of Tmeim, then it's possible. Or they might hold, they might hold like Reb Nosson, who says over there that there's a distinction. You shecht it on behalf of people. You shecht it. Reb Nosson would make the distinction between people who are not registered, between people who are not able to eat it, and people who are not physically able to eat it, versus people who are not able to eat it because of the halacha. The Gemara says Reb Nosson himself doesn't hold of a distinction like that, but the Zikne Dorim might hold like him in one aspect and disagree with him in the other. So therefore, in other words, so they would say that, yes, when it comes to the Menuyim, when it comes to them having to be registered, yes, they have to be registered, and if not, the Korban is possible if you shechted it on their behalf. But if they're Tomei, in principle, they're able to eat the Korban Pesach. It's just there's an Isser involved over here. There's an Isser preventing them from eating it. Fine, that Isser is not strong enough to pass all the Korban itself. If they eat it as tmei, well, would they be yotzei the mitzvah? That's a good question. I mean, maybe they're tmei. If they eat a korban, they're chayav karos. Would they still fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Pesach? I don't know. But whatever it is, the Zikne Dorim are saying that doesn't matter. The very fact that it doesn't matter whether they can eat it or not, that's not essential to the validity of the korban. So long as the lachatchila, sure, they should wait for Pesach Sheni. But for the Eved, it was shechted on their behalf. Even though they can't eat it, then it's okay. It's still yotzei. They hold, in other words, there's not that similarity between Minuyim and Uichlin. There isn't that similarity between people, that people have to be registered and that people have to be capable of eating. They don't hold of that equation. So even though he can't eat it, the Zikne Dorim don't care about that. Okay. So the question is, V'chi lo makshinami, okay, but even if they don't hold of the, even if they don't hold of the Hekesh, even if they don't hold of the Hekesh, even if we're going to argue that they say, therefore, that a Tomei Mes is able to send a Korban, any Korban, including the Korban Pesach, to the Beis Mikdash, and it'll be brought on that behalf. But nevertheless, we have to ask, Mehonami Islahu Pircha. But still, based on what we said before, we should still be able to slog up their Kavachoymer as follows. We should still be able to slog up their equation and say as follows, the argument that Rish Lakish was using before, Madoch, in a case where the owner became tomei with a sheret, where there we say they're able to send a korban even lachatchila, because we said that they hold that a person who's tomei sheret, the korban pesach can be brought on their behalf, because that evening already he'll be able to eat it after he has tevila and after he has head of shemesh. So they hold that, and nevertheless, koyin shenitmo b'sheret ein meratze, but we said that they hold that if a Kohen is tomei by a sheret, then still he passes the Kohen if he does the avodah with it. The heter for a Kohen, according to them, only applies if the Kohen is tomei mes. Well, then makom shenitmo b'ilam mes. So in a case where the owner was tomei mes, she'en meshalchem korban esehen, where the she'en meshalchem korban esehen l'chatchila, where we said that even the Zikne Dorim agreed that l'chatchila you shouldn't be sending this korban. Fine, but the Yevedi sent it, we're not gonna passel it, but still, koyin shenitma mebes ain't a din she'en emirata. Still, shouldn't we argue according to them that if the koyin did the avoida, we should not say that it's merata? If we see that l'chatchila, the owner, is not strong enough to be able to bring it when he's tomei, then that should be enough to passel it. That should be enough to passel it when they themselves are tomei mes. When the kohen himself is a tomei mes. The Shita Mekubetzes brings a point. What happens to the rule of diet? We usually say the rule, the daya levomen adin liyas kinod, and you want to make a kavachomer, you can't make the thing you're learning out any stronger than the original one. If we're saying that the owner being tomei mes, b'dieved, the korban is kosher, then we should say that's the kohen is tomei mes, the korban is kosher, b'dieved. How, what makes you say that it should, what makes you say that not? So sometimes it says just because the Gemara is not trying to show the actual source where Ziknei Dorim are learning from. The Gemara is just trying to find a way in which we can slug up their argument. Fine, if they want to argue back, Dayo, then that's one thing. But until they do that, we seem to have a way of arguing against their Kabbalah claims. And furthermore, besides for that logic, Maisvi, we have another contradiction against them, not just from logic, but from an actual Mishnah. The Mishnah describes over there that you have cases where the korban is brought the tumah and the seat of the Kohen Gadol is merata, makes it that after the fact the korban is acceptable, and then you have cases that not. So the Mishnah says over there, Nesha Amru, because the Chachamim said here's a din that everybody agrees to. Nazir v'osa Pesach, when it comes to a Nazir who's bringing his korbanos at the end of his nazirus, and when it comes to a person who's bringing a korban Pesach, hatzitz merata al tumas dam, so the tzitz will make the korban acceptable if the blood became tamei before it was sprinkled on the mizbeach. That's the case we say over there in the Mishnah in Tzachim, that you shechted the korban, the blood became tamei before you had a chance to sprinkle it on the mizbeach, but you went and sprinkled it anyway, so the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol will be merata. But the Mishnah continues there that the tzitz will not make the korban acceptable if the person was tameh. Now at this point, we're assuming that what it means is if the owner was tameh. So the point is, in other words, Rashi says, when it comes to other korbanos, the owner being tameh doesn't pass all the korban because fine, again, he's not required to eat from the korban. But when it comes to the nazir, if he was tameh, then he's not bringing his korbanos tara. He's supposed to be bringing his korbanos tuma and starting his nazirus over again. And in the case of the korban pesach, he's supposed to be eating it. So therefore, so if we assume that tuma sagruf in this mishnah refers to the tuma of the owner, then therefore that's why I mentioned only nazir and oisa pesach. And the point is, by the way, that the point is that some of the Mephoshim say, since the Mishnah uses the expression mipnei sha'omru, since they said, meaning it's an accepted halacha that this is the case, and therefore even if we argue that ziknei dorim are tanoim, they can't argue with that. This mipnei sha'omru may even be a halacha l'moshe misinai, but whatever it is, they don't have the ability to argue. Tosfos says that no, actually, we're going to ask from the next part of the Mishnah that we're going to quote soon. But anyway, okay. So B'mai. Now, what's the scenario over here? When we say that the person was tameh, and we assume it means the owner of the korban was tameh, how? What kind of tumah did he have that we're saying that the korban will be possible? Ilay mevetumas sheret. Are you talking about that he became tameh with a sheret? No. Hamat shersin v'zokin al tameh sheret. We said al-tumas sheret. We said before that you could bring the korban pesach on behalf of, according to the ziknei dorim, you could bring it on behalf of somebody, the korban pesach on behalf of somebody who's tamei with a sheret. Ela tumas mes. So obviously the kind of tumah that we're talking about over here in the Mishnah must be where he's tamei mes. Rikotani eina tzitz merasa. And the Mishnah is saying that the tzitz does not make the korban acceptable. The korban becomes posel. Alma, which shows nitzmum bayim mes in meshalchem korban esen, which shows that if the owner is tamei mes, they cannot send their korban, not in this case the korban pesach. They cannot send it to the bais mikdash and have it brought on their behalf. So not only b'chila but even b'di'eved, because we're saying even the tzitz can't make korban acceptable. So how does that work? That contradicts the ziknei dorim. The Ziknei Dorim are arguing, as we're saying, that a Tamei Mes is able to send his korbanos, and they're arguing all these things where it says in the Torah that he should bring Pesach Sheni is only l'hachila, and therefore on that basis they're arguing that if the Kohen is Tamei Mes, then and he grew up the korban, then b'di'evet it's also kosher. But we see from this Mishnah, on the face of it, that if the owner is Tamei Mes, then he can't send the korban. And in other words, it's possible b'di'evet. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. No, as a matter of fact, if the owner became Tomei Mes, the Ziknei Dorim can understand the Mishnah to be saying that Hochinami, that it is indeed so, the tzitz would also make the korban acceptable, not a problem. But the case where the Mishnah is talking about, when we said that if there's tumas, that if there's tumas aguf, we don't mean if that the owner was tummy, where the sheretz or mess is the case, maybe. We mean if a kohen was tummy with the sheretz. And we just said that the Ziknei Dorim agree that a kohen who's tummy sheretz is passes the kohen. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying the same thing. That if the kohen has tumas aguf, then the tzitz is not merasa. But if the owner had too much aguf, if it's too much sheretz, then even the hachila, they're able to bring the carbon pesach. And if it's too much mess, then b'dieved, they're able to. So no contradiction to the ziknei jar. Okay, the Gemara says, however, e-hachi, but if you're going to argue like that, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is not talking about the tumah of the owner, but rather it's talking about the tumah of the kohen, ema sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah, nitma tumah hatahoim hatzitz merasa, if the person became tomei through tumah hatahoim is, we learned back in Nazir a couple of years back, is like a tumah where nobody in the world knew about it up until that point. So usually we talk about, and the Gemara is going to say soon over here, that Tumas HaTahoim, the concept of Tumas HaTahoim really primarily only applies to Tumas Mes. But Rashi explains over here that more generally we can understand Tumas HaTahoim to be referring to a suffix where nobody can be clear on the fact. And therefore, Mishnah says if you tome tumas hatahoim, atzitz merasa, then tzitz makes the korban acceptable with the Eved. That's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And we know that Reb Chiya taught on that. Loi omer tumas hatahoim elo lemes bovad. That's the concept of tumas hatahoim that we say that he had tumas hatahoim and nevertheless b'dieved the korban is kosher when it comes to a nazir, when it comes to a pesach. That applies only to tumas mes. It doesn't apply to any other type. It doesn't apply to tumas sheretz or any other type. So lemes lemeutimai. When Reb Chiya is saying that it only applies to a mess, what other kinds of tumah is he coming to exclude? Lav lemeuti tumah satahoim de sheret. On the face of it, he comes to exclude the case of tumah satahoim of sheret. That we would say that even if you had a person became tumah with a sheret, and we had no way of knowing ahead, we had no way of knowing up until now that he was tumah with a sheret. We only discover it afterwards. And nevertheless, we would say that the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim does not cover that case. The korban will be possible. So that would mean, in other words, that the Mishnah obviously cannot be talking about tumas sheret. It has to be talking about tumas mes. And therefore, we're back to it. It can't be talking about where the kohen was tumi mes, because we know that if the kohen was tumi mes, according to Ziknei Dorim, the korban would be acceptable, but the Mishnah is saying that tzitz is not merasa. So obviously that's going to be talking about tumas aguf of the owner, where he was tummy with a sheret, and we're saying that it's no good. We're saying with a sheret it would be good. But if it was tummy with a sheret, it would be okay because you can check the korban pesach on behalf of a tummy sheret. Must be talking about where he's tummy mess. And there you go. The distinction is whether he's tummy mess where we knew ahead of time that he was tummy versus where it was tumas hatahoim, the type of tumah that nobody knew about until they discovered it later. So then that shlogs up to Ziknei Dorim. So the answer is loy. No, that's not what Reb Chiya means to exclude by the words that tumas hatahoim only applies to a mess. Oh, and Rashi explains. So why don't we say if we have the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim to say that tumas hatahoim works by a mess? Why don't we use the same kavo chomer that the Ziknei Dorim used before to say that it works also for tumas sheret? Rashi says that doesn't work because you can't learn kavo chomer from halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. It's one thing, things that are written in Torah Shabbat Stav, you can learn Kavah Chomers from them. But things that are halachah l'moshe Mitzrayim, by definition, you can't learn Kavah Chomers from them. They're meant, they're one-off things, they're meant as unique things. They actually, one of the Achronim, maybe it's Shur Lameshav, I don't remember, says that may be why indeed do we have certain dinim that are given only as halachah l'moshe Mitzrayim and not written in Sukkim, in order that we shouldn't learn Kavah Chomers from them. Anyway, So the answer is loy. The Gemara says no. That's not necessarily what Reb Chiya means. He might agree that he might say that Tumas HaTahoim does apply to a sheretz as well. But lamorti Tumas HaTahoim beziva. He might be excluded in the case of Tumas HaTahoim of a zov. So what would be Tumas HaTahoim of a zov? Again, Tumas HaTahoim, the definition is that nobody in the world knew about it. So Rashi explains the case. Let's say the person had a re'iyah. He had a flow of zivus during Bein HaShmoshes. So the question is, was it all during the day or was part of it during the night? Was it all during the day or all during the night? In that case, it's only one re'iyah. He's only considered like a Baal Keri. All he needs to do is go to the mikveh and have a head of shemesh and tahor. Or is it maybe part of it was during the day and part of it was during the night? Then it's considered like two re'iyahs. Now he's a zav. Now he needs seven clean days and so forth. So in a certain sense, it's like Tumas HaTahoim because we have a fact over here that nobody knows, that nobody can establish the fact, whether it was all by day or whether it was all by night or part in one and part in the other. So Reb Chiya might be saying that Zivos is a very, even though Zivos in a way is, has a certain stringency over Tumas Nes in the fact that Yotza Olam Migufei, that comes out of his very own body. So therefore, we might be machmir on that and say Tumas HaTahoim doesn't apply to that. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here and says that that's not what the case of Tumas HaTahoim of a Zav means. It means rather, you have, let's say, for example, a Kohen had a flow of Ziva on the, had a flow of Ziva, let's say, on the 13th of Nisan, the day before Erev Pesach. So at that point, he's only a Baal Keri. All he needs to do is go to the mikveh, have Hair Shemesh, and the next day, your Dalad Nisan, he'll be Tahor, and be able to bring them, and be able to shech and do the Avodah of the Korban Pesach on behalf of somebody. Later on, so he does that, he goes and shechs somebody's Korban Pesach, and then starts doing the Avodah. Later in the day, he has another flow of Ziva. So now we can call it Tumas HaTahoim in the sense we had no way of knowing ahead of time when he did the Avodah that he was going to have another flow of Ziva on the next day and therefore become a Zav. So that, again, Reb Chiya might be saying, in that case, we're not going to give any Heterim. Retroactively, the Korban that he did the Avodah of is possible because it turns out retroactively that he was a Zav. Because it turns out on the second day, which is your Dalad Nisan, and he had a second flow of Zivos, which joins together with the first one and makes him a Zav. Anyway, the point is, we might be saying that Tumas HaTahoim doesn't apply to. Not necessarily are we saying that it doesn't apply to a sheretz. So therefore, we don't necessarily have a contradiction to Zikne Dorim. Okay, the question is, the Elah Boy Rami Bachama. Okay, but what about, we find that Rami Bachama asks the question, Koyen Hamarasa the Koyen Esayen, the Koyen who is doing the Avoida on behalf of who's doing the avoda of their korbanos, so of the nazir and the person who's bringing the korban pesach, Rami Bachama asks, "Kutraloi Tumas HaTahoim Oloi? Is there a heter for him of Tumas HaTahoim as well, where he brought the korban? Later on, it was discovered that there was Tumas HaTahoim that he'd been in contact with a dead body where nobody had known about it before, or not? Do we say that only applies to the owner of the korban, but not to the kohen? The kohen would always be possible regardless." Is it allowed for him or not? Based on what we're saying over here, it sounds like the answer would be that the answer, evidently, we should be able to answer the question. We should be able to answer Rami Bachama's question. Evidently, Tumas HaTahoim is okay for a Kohen. Because we're establishing that the word Tumas HaGuf in that Mishnah are referring to the Tumah of the Kohen, that he was Tomei Meth or Tomei Sheret versus the owner, and therefore the answer would be that yes, the Mishnah is distinguishing between whether he's tameh by a known mess or an unknown mess, and there you have the answer. The answer is Rami Bachama vade plidi. Okay, there's no question that Zikne Jorim disagree with Rami Bachama, because Rami Bachama is understanding that the Mishnah over there is about Tumas HaGuf, is referring to the owner, not the Kohen, and therefore he's asking what if the Kohen was tameh with Tumas HaTahoim. The Zikne Jorim don't have to understand the Mishnah that way. They can understand the Mishnah as referring to the status of the Kohen. Fine. Toshma, the Gemara says, okay, then I have a contradiction to what Rami Bachama is saying. So this that Rami Bachama is asking the question, whether if the Kohen is Tomer, but Tumas HaTahoim, whether the Kohen is Kosher or not, We have a bright that says like this. The Nosta Aaron at Chavona Kodesh. And the Pasuk says that Aaron and his sin are taking away the Avera of the Kodesh, the sin of the Kodesh. So V'chiezo Ovin Noitzer. The question is, what sin, what problem is, what kind of soul is the Sith taking away? Is the Sith atoning for? Which is more discussed elsewhere, is only when the Kohen is wearing the Sith, is it maybe even when he's not wearing it, whatever it is, the point is, what type of problem with Korbanos is the Sith Merasa? Im Oven Pigul, if you're going to say it's a case of Pigul, and here Rashi says Pigul does not mean the usual thing that we mean where he had a Mahshava during the Korban of doing the Avoda outside of the time. Here Rashi says that we're using the word Pigul in a broader sense to mean Chutzim Koymer, where he has in mind that he's going to do an Avoda of the Korban outside his proper place. He's going to sprinkle the blood outside the Azoro. He's going to eat the meat outside of the Azoro, Yerushalayim, as the case may be. That's what we're calling over here Pigul. Because the reason is, Rashi says, because you have later on in the Peretz, and you start dealing with the dinim of Pigul in detail, we're going to bring the pasuk over there, Pigul hu lo yirasa, from Parashas Kedoshim, and we're going to say that actually refers to Chutzim Koyma. So we can't refer to Chutzim Manu because we have a different pasuk for that. So the point is, if the pasuk is telling us that the Sith takes care of a case of Pigul, namely where he had a thought of Chutzim Koyma, no, but the pasuk elsewhere says that the Korban is not considered, meaning it's possible and there's no undoing it, im oven noiser, or if you're going to say that it's talking about the avera of noiser, meaning that he had a thought to make the korban noiser, to eat it after the time, which is a machshavas man, which is what we usually refer to as pigul, so it also doesn't work, but the pasuk also says that is not acceptable, again, meaning it's not acceptable and there's no undoing it. So the tzitz obviously cannot be merasa for either of those cases. So what is the tzitz merasa on? What is the Sith Merasan? The case of an tuma, only the case of where the korban was brought in a state of tuma, shohutra mikol of a sibur, where we find that there's a different exception. We find that there's a different exception. We find that the Torah again makes an exception that the korban sibur can be brought the tuma. So therefore, since we find such an exception, then also we can apply it. We can say that the sith being merasa applies in the same way to a korban yom. So now that we establish that, now we have to ask. So if we're saying that the sith is merasa on tuma, so my tuma, what kind of case of tuma are we talking about? Ilema metuma sheret. Are you going to say that this is merasa that makes the korban acceptable if there was tumas sheret involved, whether the owner or the koyanim, as the case may be, meaning, in other words, that you would say that if the koyan or the owner was tumas sheret and shefted and brought the korban, then this will make it to the evidence acceptable. And heche ishtri. Where do we ever find? The whole point is the braisa is saying, you find a case where such a thing is kosher by the sibur, and therefore we can say that the sith makes it acceptable by the yachid as well. But we never find an exception by the sibur where it works if the sibur or the koyin with Tomei Sheretz. The whole discussion we were saying before is that not Tomei Sheretz is no exception for it. Ela Tumas Nes. Obviously then the braisa must be talking about a case where there was Tumas Nes. The lav could go into Nitmo by the Mames. Wouldn't we have to say then that the case that the Braitha is talking about is where the owner became Tomei Nes and was saying that Chachilo the Korban should not be brought on his behalf because he's Tomei Nes, but the Eved, if he did, then it's acceptable because of this. Alma Nitmo Baila Mames Meshach and Korban Esay. But therefore we see that if the owner became Tomei Nes, they are able to send Korbanos to the Beit Mikdash. Over my. Now, which case are we talking about? What kind of person who's Tomei Nes is able to send Korbanos? Even Nazir. Are you talking about that a Nazir is able, even though he became Tomei Nes, is able to send Korbanos? Can't. He almost Nes all of Amarachmanos. The Pasuk specifically says that if a person dies or we other near him or we otherwise become Tomei Nes, then he becomes Tomei, and he can't be bringing a Korbanot Tara, because then he has to go through the whole thing of bringing Korbanot Tumah and shaving his hair and starting all over again. So obviously he can't send his Korbanot Tara if he himself became Tomei. Elo Oisa Pesach. Obviously then the heter must be for an Oisa Pesach, for somebody who's making a Korban Pesach. So we see therefore that a Tomei Mess is able to send his Korbanot to the Mishnah. So the question is on Rami Bar Chama, who took it as a given before, that a Tomei Mess cannot send his Korbanot. The question was only whether if the Kohen was Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim, is there a heter for it or not? But that if the owner was Tomei Mess, whether a known Tumah or an unknown Tumah, that he couldn't. So from this Braita, it comes out, not like Rami Bar Chama, it comes out that on the face of it, if the owner is Tomei, then B'dieved, the Korban is still acceptable. The answer is la'olam v'la'af v'gun shenit mo'bailam mes. So must it not be talking about the case where the owner became Tomei mes? The answer is la'olam v'sherah. No, actually the case might be talking about where he is Tomei with a sherah. We're saying, in other words, that sith would make it acceptable if a person was Tomei sherah and a korban was brought on his behalf. The shame tumah ba'olam. You're asking where do we find an exception? Where do we find that a tomei sheres is mutter by korban sibur that we should apply it to a korban yachid? Fine. What we would say is that we don't find a tumah sheres specifically, but we find in general there is a concept that tumah is hutra or dechoya the sibur. The name of tumah is it can be overridden when it comes to the sibur. Therefore, we can say that the sith is menasa for a different type of tumah as it applies to the yachid. So not too much mess, because Rami Bar Chama would say not, but too much sheres, maybe. So no contradiction to Rami Bar Chama. He could understand the price, again, to be saying that the sis is merasa for somebody who became tummy by a sheres. Okay. The ikka the dayak of ma'asni hafi. Then there are those who look specifically at the wording of the psukim. And then they use this braisa actually the other way around. They use it to, before we were using this braisa to prove Zikne Dorim's point that a Tomei can send his korban, that a Tomei Mess can send his korban, and to contradict Rami Bar Chama, who says he can't. And we answered it by saying that Rami Bar Chama would understand the braisa to be talking about Tomei Shadow. Another way of looking at it is just the opposite, is we use the wording of the pasuk, and as we use the wording of the pasuk to disprove the Zikne Dorim and to prove in favor of Rami Bar Chama. Namely, the Pasuk says Avon HaKadoshim, and the Pasuk says that the Sith is Merasa for the Avera involving the Kodshim, implying Avon HaKadoshim, so Avon HaKadoshim Ein, so it does apply to something that involves the Kodshim themselves, that there was a problem with the Kodshim. Avon HaKadoshim Loi, but apparently it does not apply to anything involving the Makadishim, anything involving the one who consecrated the korban, whether the owner who originally designated it, or the kohen who does the avodah of it. So if they're tomei, then the korban is not acceptable, even with this. So my tumah. So then we can ask, what kind of tumah makes the korban not acceptable? Ilam a tumah sheret. So you're going to say that it's a tumah of sheret. No, mi ishtaya v'sibur. Again, the Braisa was saying, why does the sith make it acceptable? Because we find that it's acceptable by the sibur. Therefore, the sith can make it acceptable by the yachid. But again, we never find by the sibur that a sheret should make it, that a tumah sheret should be acceptable. El alav tumah mes. So obviously then, the pasuk must be referring, and the Braisa must be referring specifically to tumah mes. Avoin kodshim ein, avoin makdishim loy. And the pasuk is implying by saying avoin kodshim that it only applies to a problem involving the kodshim themselves, such as if the blood became tomei or the meat became tomei or what have you, but not the avera of the makdishim, not the problem where the makdish, where the owner or the kohen was tomei. That even the sith wouldn't make acceptable. So now if we look at it that way, then the braita is a proof to Rami Bar Chama that if the Korean or the owner is Tomei Mess and the Korban cannot be brought, and even with the evidence possible, the sith won't make it acceptable. And it's a question on Zikne Dorim, who say that if the owner is Tomei Mess, then with the evidence the Korban is kosher, and they say also that if the Korean is Tomei Mess, then with the evidence the Korban is kosher. The answer is loy. Not necessarily do you have to understand the Braisa that way. Lo'olam tumas sheres. Again, you could say that the Braisa and the Pasuk all referring to the case where they were tamei by a sheret. Ah, you're asking, there's no, we don't find a heter by tumas sheret when it comes to a carbon zivug. Again, the shame tuma ba'olam. Again, what we mean is the concept of tuma is overridden when it comes to the zivug, and therefore we can apply that to a different type of tuma when it comes to the yom. So all told, then, we don't really have a clear proof one way or the other in favor of the Zikne Jarem or against them. We have braises, and we have various things that we can understand that we can understand either way. But we don't have anything specific to say that it should be like them or that it should not be like them. In practice, the Rambam doesn't pass. The Rambam doesn't pass in like them. If a kohen who tomei any kind of tumah brings a korban, then it does the avodah of the korban with a korban yotzei. That's always going to be possible. There's no exception to yotzei versus tzitzis. There was actually a discussion at the end of the previous parak, something similar where we tried to learn from a carbon sibber to a carbon yachid and say that what applies we should be able to make an exception for a carbon sibber, and we said that not. So here by the same logic, we don't say that there's any exception for a carbon yachid. Any kind of tumah will pass on the carbon if the carbon is tumah. Then the Mishnah continued. Yoshi, the next one in the Mishnah we said was if the Kohen is sitting and does the Avodah, then it's possible. So the question is Manoah. Where do we know that from, that if he does the Avodah sitting, that the Avodah is possible? Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman. Because the Pasuk says like this, Lamed L'Shoreis, the Pasuk says to stand to serve. The whole pasuk says, "Ki boy bracha Hashem alekecha mikol shvatecha." Hashem chose him, meaning the kohenim, from among all your shvatim, lamed l'shoreis, to stand and serve. Therefore, lamed b'chartu v'lo liyeshiva. It means that I only chose him for the purpose of doing the avodah when he's standing, not when he's sitting. So there seem to be two different ways. There seem to be two different yusoids in Rashi of what exactly the Gemara is learning. Obviously, are we saying, as we'll see in the continuation of the Gemara, is it that we're saying that if he sits down, then he becomes a zor, and therefore just like a zor is mechalal the avodah, so is someone who's sitting? Or is it that we're just saying that we do a mama sin? We say just like a zor is chayav nisa and he's mechal the avoda, the same way a yoshev is mechal avoda and is chayav nisa. So not necessarily we're saying that he is a zor, but that we compare him to a zor. Or the other way of looking at it is that he himself actually becomes a zor by sitting down. Sorry, turn around, we're learning a blanca. When the prophet says lamed l'shoreis, the prophet says to stand and serve. You would think that means only mitzvah. You would think that means only the ideal way of doing the mitzvah is for him to stand. But maybe if he sits, then b'dievet is still kosher. No, shu'oma ha'oimdim. But no, when the pasuk says ha'oimdim, or actually lamod, when it says in the pasuk, when the pasuk says that they stand, actually, yeah, ha'oimdim sham. The pasuk says over there that the pasuk continues in the next pasuk over there that he serves among all his brothers, the Kohenim, the Levim actually says over there, ha'oindim sham, who stand over there. So therefore, again, sham Allah kotzalakim means now the pasuk has repeated twice that they have to stand, and as we said before, repeating twice means that it's maskim. Omale Rava of maskim. However, the Rava asks of maskim, mechti yoshiv kizorgami. Now let's consider it. Someone who sits is like a zor. Again, according to the first way of looking at it, means that literally once he's sitting, then he's not among the ones who were chosen by Hashem. Therefore, effectively, he is a zor. Or the other way of looking at it is we're comparing it to a zor. So therefore, umachil avoda, and we're saying that someone who's sitting is mechal the avoda. Ema, in that case, you should argue there's another similarity between them. Ma zor b'misa, ach yoshev b'misa. You should argue, just like if a zor does the avodah, he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim, so you should also argue that if somebody does the avodah sitting, he should be chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Because if you're saying that he is a czar, or he's like a czar, then there should be that comparison. It should go across the board. Alamatanya, in that case, why are we learning in a brisa? We said that there are certain cases over there where a person does the avodah and he's chayav mitzvah. Among them are a czar, a tomei, and a few others. Avo oril, but a person who's an oril, who doesn't have a brismila, onin, or who's an onin during the day that is relative died before he's buried, yoshev, or he's sitting, enin b'mitzvah, none of those are chayav mitzvah. All of them are only warned in the Torah not to do it, in the Chayav Malkus, but no more than that. Right, the Kohen Gadol is only right, then he can do the Avodah L'Chatzila, right. But we're talking other things. But be that as it may, even other Kohenim, if they do any of these things, it's only an Azara, it's only a lot. So if you're telling me that a Yoshev is effectively a Zara, or is like a Zara, as the case may be, then why shouldn't he be Chayav Mitzvah as well? Okay, Tosfos asked the question. In that case, why didn't the Gemara ask the same thing before? When we were a couple of blocks ago, when we talked about oral, it should have asked the same thing. So Tosfos discusses the idea, therefore, that what we're saying is that like the first explanation in Rashi, that the Yoshev is effectively a zor, as opposed to the oral, a different category. Fine, as a different category, there's no reason to think he'd be chayav. Especially since the process about an oral is only in the Chesed. It says Allah from Moshe Mitzvah, which is Chesed will work. But anyway, back to over here. So why don't we say that the Yoshev is Chayav Mitzvah? The answer is Mishum to having the Chutzah Godim, Mishalei the Chutzah, Dain Drag Lime, Shnei Ksum Abayim Ka'achon. Because we have two psukim, one in connection with the Chutzah Godim, the Kohen who doesn't wear the proper number of Godim, which was discussed earlier in the parak, and the other one where he didn't wash his hands and feet. In both of those cases, the Torah says that if he does the avodah that way, he's chayav mitzvah. The pasuk says by both of them, v'lo yamutsu, they shouldn't die. So therefore, so you have two psukim that are teaching us the same concept, that somebody who's machal avodah is chayav mitzvah. And we have a general rule, before shnei ksurim bo'im ka'echad, whenever you have two psukim that teach us the same din, then ain't allowed them. We can't learn from them for other cases. Because if the Torah wanted to tell us that it applies across the board, it would have said it by one of them, and we would have learned to all the other ones. Since it says it individually by Mechutzah Brother and by the Shalor Chutzah Daim Ravayim, means only those two are Chayav Mitzvah, only those two are Chayav Mitzvah, but not the Yoshev. Then what about according to the opinion? The Gemara discusses in some places that you have the opinion, I think of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even if you have two psukim teaching us the same din, you can learn from it to other places, because they would say just because it says in two psukim is not enough to say that it's limited only to them. But the answer is Shriya Yayin, Avalit Shlishi. We have a third one when they drank wine, where the Pasuk also says that if they drink wine, then they're Chayav Nisa. And it also says that they're Machal Avodah, who Shloshu, the Divrahapo, and Malamdin. We took him, definitely, everybody agrees on that Malamed, it means it applies only to those, among Kohenim, only the Shriya Yayin, the Shaloi Rechutzi Dain Raglaim, and the Rechutzi Brodim, those three are Chayav Nisa, but not the Yoshin, and not the other ones, the Onin, and not the other ones, the Onin, and the Olin. No, so we're saying that Voida is possible, but he's not Chayav Nisa. That's what we're saying. In other words, so you have, there are cases, and it actually goes both ways. You have cases where a person is, you have cases where the avodah is not supposed to be done, but the yevet he did, it's kosher. One example is that I'm going to give an example, let's say, of a person who has a mum, a Kohen who has a mum of the type where the mum only applies to human beings. You have certain types of mumim that apply to human beings and to animals, certain types that are unique to human beings, certain types that are unique only to animals. But I'm unlearned that if he has a mum that's unique only to human beings, then he's not Machal Abarim. He's still also to do it. There's still an Azhara. Whether he's Chayav Nisa B'Dei Shamayim, I don't remember, but whatever it is. So you have that. On the other hand, you have over here cases where he's Machal of the Avodah, for example, the Oral and the Yoshev, but he's not Chayav Nisa. On the basis that we're saying over here that we have to him that say by some of them that he's Chayav Nisa, implying only those and not the other ones. So to summarize, I know in the past you've asked me to summarize, you know, I But so to summarize then, so as far as the question about Koyin being Tomei and doing the Avodah, so again, we have the opinion of the Zikne Dorim that says that if he's Tomei Mess and he does the Avodah of an individual Korban and the evidence culture, we didn't really disprove them, but the Halacha apparently is not like them.
He did the Avodah
when he's Tomei Mess. Now, again, if he does the Avodah when he's Tomei Mess and he does the Avodah of a Korban Sibur, in a case where the korban is being brought, where the korban is able to be brought in the truma, then there's no question. We have a specific heter in the Torah that where most of the korbanim or most of the tzibur are tomei, then the korban is brought anyway, and it's acceptable. And in the korban takes up a human. But when it comes to an individual person's korban. Then, so the Zikne Dorim argued that if they're Tomei Mess, then the korban is still acceptable, and only if it was, and only if they were Tomei with some other kind of tumor would it not be. So the halacha though is not like that. The halacha is that the korban is possible regardless of what type of tumor it was. Tomei Mess, Tomei Sheretz, whatever. Yeah. They argue Tomei Mess is okay, Tomei Sheretz is not. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is regardless, he's mechalal the avodah, and he's chayav mitzvah b'dei shemayim. We had the thing in Sanhedrin, that's what we said, instead of waiting for Hashem to deal with him, the kohenim would take him out and beat him and beat his head in with sticks. But yeah, so not like the Zikne Dorim. The Zikne Dorim also argued that if a person was Tomei Mess and the Korban Pesach was brought on his behalf, that the Dievet is kosher. Again, the halacha is not like them in that if the person was Tomei Mess and the Korban Pesach was brought on his behalf, it's no good and he's going to have to bring a Pesach shein. So that's as far as that. And then as far as this other thing, as far as sitting, what we said is that if Koyan does the Avodah sitting, he's Mechalo the Avodah on the basis of the Pesach that he has to be standing, and the Pesach repeats twice that he has to be standing. On the other hand, he's not chayav mitzvah b'dei shemayim because the pasuk only mentions that in certain cases, and that means it doesn't apply to the others. Doesn't matter any avodah. I mean, if any of the avodahs involved in korban, it could be the primary avodah that we learned about in the first tereh, like kabbalah and whatever. It could also be, in fact, in the first tereh, we talked about the case. For example, halacha could be he's sitting and sort of scooting along the floor while he's sitting. We said that would still make it possible. It could also be though the other things that are done after the korban is kosher. So okay, at that point the korban won't become possible anymore, but he's still also to do it. For example, burning the fat or whatever also can't be done sitting. I believe so. Yes, I think I've seen some videos. I mean, you can look on YouTube, I guess, but I'm pretty sure I've seen videos. I know. For example, I saw one a couple of months ago where they depicted how it describes in the Mishnayos and Talmud how they dissected the korban ola, how they hung it up and dissected it piece by piece. I saw a video where they did that. True. Yeah. Picture is worth 1,000 words. Yeah.
No, I think there's a lot of missionary.
Oh, that too. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, never mind that. But you have kosher ones. I saw a kosher one a couple of months ago. That's yeah.
All right, it's your fault.
Sure.